Y ese de también yo se llama cono con yo yo manalde pasa también se embrasó.
So for the sake of all mother sentient beings, equaling the limits of space, must attain by every means a state of full Buddhahood. And for this purpose, I shall knowledge and listen to the teachings on the sublime Dharma. So please adjust the motivation in such a way and listen in an appropriate manner.
Mm-hmm. Yes. 다
So with regards to the part of the teachings, the section of teachings that we have arrived at within the Lamrim regarding how to take a full advantage of a life of leisure opportunity and the actual way, then we've come to the second portion of that, which is the actual way to take full advantage of a life of leisure opportunity. And within this, within the three trainings in the smaller, middling, and greater capable being, these three capacities, then we've come to the part of training actual training of thought for a person of small capacity. And within that, we come to a section about death and impermanence. And we've talked about the benefits of remembering death and the faults of not remembering death. So we've come out to a portion about the benefits of remembering death. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So here at the middle of page 147, here Lama Tsongkhapa further goes on talking about the benefits of him being mindfulness of death. So I mentioned before about that the benefits of cultivating the mindfulness of death is that it possesses great meaning, it's extremely meaningful, and it's also a very powerful form of meditation, powerful practice. So in short, Lama Tsongkhapa says that now having achieved this special life of leisure opportunity, now is the time to accomplish the causes for a higher status as well as the ultimate goodness. To achieve these, now is the time to achieve this. Since that we have, since beginner's rebirth, we have, due to the force of negative non-virtuous karma, negative karma, non-virtuous actions. Due to the force of that, we have spent most of our times wandering in the realms of lower existence, lower realms of existence. Even then, in the world, in the human world. So that means we were born in the dark era, and those were at times lacking leisure and opportunity to practice the Dharma. So that, and even then, so therefore now we have having achieved such a wonderful, excellent physical basis for practicing in Dharma, the reason why we do not actually go about cultivating the Dharma practice or practicing properly is because of not remembering, of not being mindful of death, not remembering death. Therefore, not being mindful of death or not remembering death is the door of all suffering, and the remembrance or mindfulness of death is the door to all excellence, yes, perfections. Yes. Some people, the Lama Tsongkhapa further says, goes on to say that some people think that this, since this, when we're talking about death impermanence in this section, it talks about the coarse form of impermanence, and some people think that such meditations are being meditation in coarse impermanence are necessarily meditations for those people that are unable to apprehend subtle, to directly apprehend or to realize the subtle impermanence, such as emptiness and so forth, you know. So therefore, they think that people who cannot meditate on subtle impermanence then meditate on gross impermanence. And some people may think that there is a more profound dharma, you know, to be meditated upon than gross impermanence, such as death. And they have this kind of thinking. And some other people also possess the misconception that meditations on death are merely meant for beginners in order to turn their minds towards Dharma, to propel them towards Dharma practice. And later on in the path, you know, it is not needed, not required to meditate on death. So Lama Tsongkhapa refutes that this is a wrong conception, because the death meditations on death, mindfulness of death, is required at all times, you know, along the path. Because if one does not remember Dharma, one does not remembering death, then one does not give up the thought that is attached to the affairs of this life, and one does not, in one's mind, one does not renounce the thought of attachment to this life, then all of one's practices, you know, does not become Dharma. All of one's actions does not become Dharma practice. So the Kadampa masters have said before, if one does not become mindful of death in the morning, then the whole morning is waste.
One doesn't become Dharma practitioner.
No.
You want it not renounced. It hasn't been described. One doesn't become Dharma practitioner.
Yes. If one does not renounce towards this life, then one does not become a Dharma practitioner. So the Kadampa master said, if one does not remember death and impermanence in the morning, then the morning is taken up with the eight worldly dharmas attached with the affairs, you know, with the mind attached to the affairs of this life. And then if one does not remember death in the later part of the day, then also the mind is spent in worldly dharmas. So therefore then the whole life becomes engaged, you know, in constant attachment to affairs of this life and does not become dharma practice. So therefore the dharma is important at the beginning, the middling, at the end. So here Lama Tsongkha, the reason being that initially when one meditates remembering death, you know, then this meditation inspires us to practice the dharma because one remembers that this life does not remain forever and that the future life will come. So therefore, one cultivates the causes for happiness in future lives by practicing the dharma. And so in the middling... So mindfulness of death is important at the beginning, middling, and the end. So in the beginning, when one by remembering death, then one is inspired to practice the dharma because understanding that this life will not remain and then the future lives will come, then one is inspired to practice the dharma. And in the middling stages, because of remembering death, then one is inspired to give rise to joyous effort in cultivating the path. So as mentioned before, if one does not remember death in impermanence, then one does not, even if one cultivates the dharma purely, one practices dharma purely, however, one does not do it with intensity. So here, if one remembers death in impermanence, then one does not experience fatigue easily in one's dharma practice. One does not, it's not readily to give it up. One would be able to practice it with intensity, as it's important in the beginning, middling, and end.
Yes.
So this is also very important if one reflects on the actual life story of the Buddha. When the Buddha, having attained enlightenment, when he first turned the Dharma wheel in the place of Varanasi, then the Buddha taught on the subject of the first teaching the Buddha gave was on impermanence. So that was the very first teaching that he gave. And then the final teaching, that final act, final deed that he enacted in this world was that of passing away into Mahaparinirvana. And this was also, again, in order to show the impermanence of all phenomena, that all these conditioned composite phenomena are impermanent by nature. So therefore, that was also the last of the Buddhist teachings. So therefore, here showing the importance that the Buddha gave at the beginning, the very first teaching and the very last teaching that he gave were both on impermanence. So here, therefore, impermanence is important, even in Buddhist teachings in the beginning, middle, or the end.
Yes. Now, yuvzita patram. Hento jablo chevi kawna, kono nobrindu mitabati. Tembatiga, any tuchi tizoka donoma jomachi, any chuchi every cigar.
Yes. Kumitio mitabatini. Tuti gyamachu. Yes. Yes. So then, so by remembering death and impermanence, this is one of the causes for turning one oneself towards the to enter into Dharma practice. The causes for entering into Dharma practice. So in the past, there was one 800 priest, you know, who possessed great power and had ability to make curses at people. So through the force of the power of his curses, he killed many people. So one time he laid out the various articles for performing his sorcery. Then, and prior to actually performing the curse, then he suddenly remembered the death of impermanence. Then, without having the time to clear up or to recollect his articles of sorcery, he left to go off to Dharma practice. Yes.
And then, Sobo, Shenpa Tende, and Simji Mongpa Se Denye Chi, Tenye Ani Chwa Tene, and Chu Che Vare Se Ya Shi Gore. Then, Gachi Gu, Lo Se Chi, Lo Mongpa Se. And Se Deve Kavna Ani Chichi, Lo Se Ya Ki Chichi Yo Yimbar. And then, Lui Xian Da Chi Dam Deve Kavna, and Lui Chi Ki Chit Ma Pe. Sato Si Chui Ti Gong Na Sa Kao, and Ti Gong Na Lo Ti Nye Chi De. And Kui Chi Wo Ti Dam San Ne Ni Chi Ma Ra Chi. And Chi Tsi Ka Ngo Ti Gong Na, and Lui Chi Wo Ti Dam Pe Chi De Yo Tu. Da, Lui Ti Sam Chi Wa Li Xi Wo Xi Ging Do Chen Ne, and Kuro Wan Chi Wa Chen. And Ten Chi Chen Ne, and Xian Ba Tsam Xia.
So there is also the story of a Mongolian butcher who, due to the remembering death and impermanence, then became a Dharma practitioner. So he was a butcher of sheep. Then, so while he was prior to killing the sheep, he had a knife which he used to butcher the sheep with. So prior to butchering them, he had to tie up the sheep in rows, so that the ones that he was going to butcher. So he left the knife lying on the floor. So while he was tying up the other sheep, one of the sheep went up and dug a impression on the ground and hit the knife and buried it with soil. And sat on top of it and refused to budge. So then when he had finished tying up all those sheep that he needed, he covered it with dust. Yeah, he covered it with dust and he sat on it. So on the sheep. So then the butcher, having tied up those sheep that he needed to kill, then came back to look for the knife, but couldn't find it. But when he eventually found it, the sheep was sitting on that knife and it covered it with soil. They realized how much terrified the sheep were of death and of dying. So therefore, then this inspired him to remember death and impermanence. And then he gave up the act of profession of killing, butcher, being a butcher, and then went to Lhasa, became a monk, and entered into Dharma practice. And then he said that in later times he became a good Dharma practitioner. And then, you know, he said his reincarnation right now, he still has lineage of reincarnation up to the present days.
Yes. But, Nina Sobana Chawat, Tembi, Angi, Tedalo Tajid on the Trabajivan, Namna Ye Majumi, Chivala Tradu in Binder, Techeba Minos, in Mareta, Nene Duda, Jujalada, Tendido Tandu, San Chigalamo, Trabaje deate, any chula, combatan made the Gange, 담아버려 속에 짜동래 이제 감대니 대제야 말이에요.
So here, the Lama Tsongkhapa further describes what is exactly the kind of mind we're trying to generate when remembering death and impermanence. So at the bottom of this section, there's the bottom page 147, it says here that when some people, when they bring to mind that at the time of death, you know, they're going to be separated from their relatives and their friends, their loved ones, they're going to be separated from their wealth and possessions and enjoyments and so forth, then they generate a sense of fear. You know, so but then that and then just that mere fear alone, you know, without any form of dharma accompanying that. So this is like the general fear of worldly people, you know, when they remember death, you know, without any form of dharma in their minds. So here Lama Tsongkhapa specifically states that this is not the kind of mind that we are striving to achieve. Yes. So here, Lama Tsongkhapa further says that due to the karma and afflictive emotions from previous lives, and then we have taken this body, taken birth in this physical body. So from this, having taken birth in this physical body, henceforth the next step or the next phenomena that will occur will be death. You know, so this is an unstoppable act of nature, because any body that is taken birth in, you know, under the influence of karma afflictions would definitely end up in death. This is the general situation of cyclic existence. So therefore here Lama Tsongkhapa says that one cannot stop this process. So therefore to understand, to have fear for the general situation of samsara, of this general fear of general sufferings of birth, aging, sickness, and death. So even if one has fear about regarding these, one cannot stop these immediately. One cannot put a stop to these general sufferings immediately. One cannot. So prior to being to the actual attainment of the ability of stopping rebirth, you know, having to take birth again in cyclic existence, one what kind of fear does one need to generate? So here it says that now having achieved this excellent basis for practicing the Dharma, if one doesn't actually go about cultivating Dharma at this point of time, then in one's future lives, you know, one would fall into the lower realms. So one needs to generate specifically the fear of that, you know, of falling to the lower realms in the next life. So also, due to such fear, then one enters into proper dharma practice. So in this case, then one would be able to render oneself free from having to fall into a lower rebirth, you know, in the next life. So for this purpose, you know, so one needs to generate fear towards a lower rebirth in the next life. Yes. Yes. So therefore, one is right now, at the present moment, fearful of death. One needs to make oneself to the state whereby one is not fearful when death actually arrives, so for that one be able to die with a very happy mind. And for this purpose, you know, one engages in these Dharma practice due to these reasons. So here, Lama Tsongkhapa, in the middle of page 148, Lama Tsongkhapa quotes from the Garland of Birth Stories, which is a text composed by Aryasura, Lobun Bawo, when he was describing the Buddha's previous lifetimes, when he was training the Bodhisattva path in order to train the Bodhisattva path to achieve enlightenment than all the various previous lives, you know, that he went through. So here, in one of those lives, one of the Buddha's previous lives prior to attaining enlightenment, then he said this verse, which said explains that why are people generally afraid of dying. It's because of the negative karmas, that they have created while they're alive, and at the time of death they generate remorse towards that, and then the fear of that, you know, that occurs that when they die. So here, the Buddha says that Bodhisattva says that he does not know of anything that he have done that will make him regretful, because his entire life was spent accustoming himself to virtuous actions, to cultivating virtuous practices. But therefore, he does not have fear of death. Yes.
Pabali jijabali chong, dan and chow nyam simba, konang iba yajaba, ten jiba yondon, chidalan yu kalanji, chisumishi ras. Himbarita, tu yjendu, dan and chow nyam, chowa metaba chen, te ongen, geva chup, ten jiba yina, any chiyaka and jiba yungumari, somebody, tad.
Yes. So then, Lama Tsongkhapa further quotes from Aryadeva's writings, the 400 stanzas, in which it says that when those people who at all times, you know, think with certainty that I will die, you know, that due to that thought, then and they engage in Dharma practice, accomplish a lot of virtue when they're alive, and therefore when death time comes, then they are not fearful at all. Yes. So then Lama Tsongkhapa says that by remembering death and impermanence, especially that the time of death is uncertain, so then through understanding of that, one infers that one's physical body as well as enjoyments and so forth, one's resources, all these eventually will be separated from oneself. So therefore, and remembering since the time of death is uncertain, then all of these have no meaning, you know, have no essence, all of these affairs of this life. So therefore, by remembering death and impermanence, eventually one will not have the distress at the time of death from separation from all these. Yes. So here, if one is able to practice the Dharma properly, cultivate the Dharma properly, then at the time of death there is no fear. One will be also, you might even possibly die with a mind of great joy, you know, great joy and ecstasy. So here, in the past, there was one Lama called Longdo Lama Rinpoche. He was living in the area of Guge, where there was war had broken out and people were escaping.
The Nepal, their war, so the Nepal started a war in Tibet.
Yes.
So then everybody, people start run away, escape.
Yes.
So then they asked them to escape.
Yes. So people are escaping from a war that had broke up from Nepal. Yeah. Nepal had waged towards Tibet. So then people were escaping, and then they were asking Longdo Lama Rinpoche to escape as well. And Longdo Lama Rinpoche replied that he didn't need to, because if this body that was training in virtue,
I would much happier to be killed because in morning my body is monk body, a body of virtue training, but in afternoon I can have deva body. I can have deva body in afternoon, so I'll be much happier to be killed, so that I don't need to run away.
So now these examples of such foreign practitioners also occur in modern times as well. His Holiness Dalai Lama has said before that there was one Geshe called Geshe Kayang, was also from Tibet, from the older generation in Tibet, and so in 1959 came to India in exile as well, and then he gradually came to have cancer, to be sick of cancer. Then he had a sponsor, and together with his sponsor, they went to meet, had an audience with His Holiness. So the sponsor had a lot of worry about the condition of the Geshe's health. However, the Geshe himself was free of worry, saying that, you know, whatever happens is okay, because he had no sense of regret. You know, he has no remorse in his mind, you know, by virtue of his practice. So His Holiness was extremely pleased and said that this is how a Dharma practitioner should be.
The benefactor of the Geshe, the Geshe-kan, was extremely concerned, very worried with Geshe cancer. So, but the Geshe was not worried at all, and he said, very relaxed, and he said that I used my during my lifetime, you know, I practiced Dharma, so I did as much as what I can. So his mind is very relaxed, not afraid. So I'm saying that the result of his Dharma practice is a result of fruit, the result of his Dharma practice. That he's not afraid of that.
Yes.
So here, the previous portions up to now we have covered about the faults of not remembering death and impermanence, and the benefits of remembering death and impermanence, and the kind of death and impermanence that we are trying to generate. So here now we've come to the fourth section at bottom, page 148. We talked about how to cultivate the mindfulness of death. This is divided into into the section of what we call the three roots, the nine reasons, and the three decisions. So each of the three roots has three reasons. So altogether there are nine reasons, and culminating the three decisions due to the understanding that death is certain. One comes to a decision that one has to practice the Dharma. Then due to the understanding that the time of death is uncertain, then one comes to a decision that one has to practice the Dharma quickly, accomplish the Dharma quickly. And then so due to the understanding that the time of death, at the time of death, nothing except Dharma would benefit. So then one comes to a decision to practice only the Dharma alone. Yes.
Rajumba Ronyon, 다 처참한 뭐 언양인데 사로 이제 된데 인도 루이 천자제 논의 편향이 말 근데 안 좋다 보다 아 루 주의 주어다 보면 내 말 혀라 루 근데 좀 더 된데 공용명이 담아버지 인도 루인데다 아니 지금 다 이제 그래 와 문제 봐 용서가 말이었어
So here, in the page 149, then it talks about the three roots, elaborating on three roots, that death is certain, one, death is certain, two, the death and time of death is uncertain, and three, at the time of death, nothing helps except religious practice. Then elaborating on the first point, that contemplation that death is certain, this has three aspects. One, the Lord of Death will definitely come, and therefore cannot be avoided. Two, that our lifetime cannot be extended and constantly diminishes. And three, while you're alive, there's little time for religious practice. So here, the first one, elaborating on the first point, the Lord of Death will definitely come and cannot be avoided. So it says here, that, it quotes from the text collection of indicative verses, whereby it says here, explaining that the Lord of Death would definitely come to us, and that if we wonder whether there is a way to avert or to reverse this process, so this is impossible. Then the answer is that it is impossible. One cannot avert the death process. There's no condition by which, by through relying on that, one can avert the circumstance of death. So here, all that have taken bodies, whatever bodies that have taken, you know, are prone. Prone to destruction, you know, there's no bodies taken in this world that has not been prone to destruction. So it says here, even the Buddha that has attained the state of the immutable body, immutable holy body that is deathless, the deathless immutable body, then along with the accompanying arhats and Pratika Buddhas, you know, each having inconceivable miraculous powers and clairvoyance, then even then all of them, even the Buddha, Bhagavan Buddha, then manifests a nirvana, you know, leaving the body. Then also all the other arhats, you know, who are complete power over themselves, you know, who are endued with power, then they also, all these hundreds and thousands of arhats, also manifested passing away, let alone all of us ordinary mortal beings with these bodies made out of flesh and blood, you know, not having any single clairvoyance or miraculous powers. More and more to say to these such bodies that we have to die. Therefore, there is no body, mortal body like that, that is not prone to the ultimate destruction. Yes.
ね、よこんでじゃん、ちびみつばやまれ。よこんでじゃん、ちばおまね、てにでこんでのちびみつばさとのよばま、ばのなめじゃんてのろのせでしょなめしそうす。え、今だ。こんなねなちびまつべ、さぞ、ばのんだ。じゃんぞだ。え、ろせでしょか。てんでちなよ。あ、ちばとのばみんでこんな。ね、かわでなよ。ぺやめられ。ちじゅれ。
Here it says that no matter where you stay, you know, the death will come to you. So even there's no place one can stay where death, one can evade death, whether one stays in space or in sea, in the mountains, you know, when the hammer of death falls upon you, then there is no place where one can evade one's fate of death. So here, even when this king during the Buddha's time was waging war against the family of the Shakyas, then the Buddha hit some of the members of the Shaka clan within his begging bowl. And so when the external war, was going on, when all these people were killed, that even then, after that happened, that even those that were hidden in the Buddha's begging bowl by the power of his miraculous, by the force of his miraculous powers also had died. So therefore, one cannot evade death when it comes.
말이다. 돼지몬도 지나요. 몸에도 침에도 가도 지나요. 아니 침무거지 영향이 말이지. 몸도 침에도 남들이 생기는 집에 좀 제발 매번 되니래. 정도는 요원 주어 지니 봐. 근데 눈이 떠는 로 와다. 대근 직관 큐비 떠지 때 주는 내정 이거 제발 주 지서. 이 말이 된대 인데. 그래당 몸도. 옛날에 다다 옛날에 마음 받는 중간 주말에 강간로 아니 최고하야래 대연받는 시바치 아니 롱이 용이 반치 와 인바 삼네 아니 주족고 그래
스승물에. So here Lama Tsongkhapa further mentions that regarding to the destruction of living beings by death, this does not make any difference with regards to how it was in the past, how it is now, and how it is in the future. It is the same. All our living beings are subject to death and the destruction by death. All eventually have to die. So here Lama Tsongkhapa says that one should know this fact, and then engage in Dharma practice.
Yes. 초진의 냄바, 닝보도 냄바, 마시바, 마게바, 패메바, 패메바, 종메바, 신도 추바, 지도 두보, 예, 남라 레이키, 사도데, 이 말이다, 초신의 내신부, 던지지게, 남라 레이키, 렌동보다, 초신의 용부이나, 자동, 신당, 신개바동, 야가동, 로마 탐지당, 디지의 수등에 샘진 소차 용모 탐지 샘만 타지 오만하네 델레 연디다 델란 요비 주답다니 아마라 소지 가와 주이나니 디지 소소 내용요를 요비 주바 델란이 또지 돈에 그게 다 노용도 거나 대파가 비야 용마라 또지 도바 너지 도바 제도 나도 맨남지 도바다 마이노 대패다샤 자보진보 대신도 지구아침보시에 내다 온데 대다래 일단 조빈 주방 덥지 도방 노르지 도방 제동아도 맨지 도방도 많이 많이 넣어 이제 강하시나 가와다 나와다 치와도 구바오서 인바다 제가 나지 예 자보침보 네 가와다 나와다 치와도 구바오 자보침보 가와네 다 되게 르침보 되게 자도 신도 소자도 세만타지 용바데 나기 가와데게 가린 용거르세나 논토 달라바바든 좀 게모차 나와데게 네메 반좀 아니 네진나 구바네 다마 냥군로야 구바네 포숨소바 담진 좀 용어 다 논노 좀 포숨소바 담진나 된린 용로야지 치와네 소은 좀신 온데 대단해네 조빈 류밤 떡지 도밤 놀지 도밤 제동아도 맨날 시원하고 많이 넣으시겠어.
Then here Lama Tsongkhapa says that when the time of death comes to arrive, one cannot turn away, avert this process with things such as mantras or any of such articles that one can avert this fate. So here he quotes from the advice to the King Sutra, in which the Buddha mentioned that, for example, when four great mountains were to rise up from the four directions, and their nature of being hard, firm, solid core, indestructible, unsplittable, without fissures, extremely resilient, and massed into one. So that means it's extremely solid, overwhelming kind of stuff. So when these mountains were to rise up into the sky, and they would destroy the earth, then all the living beings in between that and all the elements between that, such as the grasses, trees, trunks, branches, leaves, and all sentient beings, living beings, and creatures will be crushed to dust without exception. So when these mountains come, it will not be easy to quickly run away or to turn them away with force. You know, so therefore, wherever beings run, you know, they will still be crushed by these four mountains should they arise from the earth. So when this occurs, one cannot turn it away with force, wealth, magic substances, mantras, and medicine. Then the Buddha said, Great King, in the same way, these four frights come, and it is not easy to quickly run away or to turn away with force, wealth, substances, mantras, and medicine. So using these as example, then he says, what are the four? So here, the four things here are aging, sickness, death, and decay. So similar. So the analogy of the four mountains mentioned prior to this was analogy for these four types of suffering. So it says here, Great King, when death, Great King, aging comes and destroys youth, causing the body to age and when sickness comes and destroys health, the health of the body, and decay comes and destroys all that is excellent. So here it refers to the degeneration of physical health, as well as here decay, meaning the disintegration of one's health, wealth, one's wealth and riches, resources falling apart and so forth. And death comes and destroys life. It is not easy to quickly run away from them or to turn them away with force, wealth, or to call them with substances, mantras, medicines. Yes. So like this, by understanding that there is no way that one can avert death through these various substances and so forth, understanding that death is definite, one definitely has to undergo or encounter the fate of dying. So now to remember, so here Lama Tsongkhapa quotes from Geshe Gamawa, which it says that now we should be frightened by death, that one should needs now by remembering death at this point of time, that the time of death is uncertain and so forth, understanding that death is irreversible, unavoidable, inadvertible, then one is inspired to enter into Dharma practice, to cultivate Dharma practice. Then by being fearful now, then one fearful of death now, while we're alive, we engage in Dharma practice. And then at the time of death, due to the practice of Dharma, then we arrive at the death's door, completely fearless because of having practiced the Dharma. However, being worldly people, we are completely opposite, because right now we are completely fearless. By not remembering death and impermanence, we're completely fearless. But when we arrive at death's door, then it says here, we dig our fingernails into our chests, or we could say we clutch at our breasts in fear at the time of death.
So
So here, then we move on to the next section where it talks about the contemplation that our lifetime cannot be extended and constantly diminishes. So hereby contemplating due to this reason. So this is the second of the three reasons regarding that death is definite, death is certain. So here it talks about our lifespan that we have in this life is due to the karma from previous lives. So the karma of previous lives decides how much lifespan you have in this life, and therefore this lifespan is decided, is fixed, it cannot be increased, and that from the time of birth onwards, you know, this lifespan is constantly decreasing without any interruption.
So here
the Lama Tsongkhapa quotes from the sutra called the Sent into the Womb. So this when the Buddha, Bhagavan Buddha, came to this world, it was at a time when the human lifespan was 100 years. So therefore here, the Buddha said that even if we protect our bodies well in order to live comfortably, then we will live at the longest 100 years or a little more. So here, the maximum is no more than that. That even though it is possible to live such a lifespan, then the time until death, you know, passes us very quickly. So here, it says that the year is consumed by months, months by days, and days by day and night, and so forth. Therefore, the lifespan is constantly that we have, you know, is constantly passing us by in a very high speed, you know, so to speak. It's very passes us by very quickly. So, and then it says here, even then, few people actually reach the expected lifespan of 100 years, and most of the lifespan for us who are alive seems to be exhausted, really. And then since our lifespans, the life is passing us by a day and night without any interruption, you know, it's constantly being exhausted without a break, and that which is remaining cannot be extended. Yes. So then Lama Tsongkhapa quotes from engaging in the bodhisattva deeds. This verse is essentially has the same meaning that's expressed above. The following that Lama Tsongkhapa quotes from the uses many examples to aid in our contemplation of this fact, so that this will increase our certainty in our minds regarding that the lifespan is constantly diminishing. So Lama Tsongkhapa uses the analogy of someone who's weaving. When they're weaving, then the weavers pass the thread, you know, through the weaving machine with each movement, with each stroke. But each time you use only a single thread. However, then the whole bunch of thread gets quickly used up. And then, so for us who think that, you know, thinking that we might live for 100 years, for example, then each day of our life passes us by like this. And even though it's only one day is spent each time, your life is quickly exhausted and then comes to an end very swiftly. Yes. So here, Lama Tsongkhapa uses the analogy of sheep being driven to slaughter. So if sheep are being, you know, sheep do not always spend their time hanging around the abattoir. So they need to be taken, you know, driven whatever towards the abattoir, the slaughterhouse. So so when they're being driven towards the slaughterhouse, with each step that they take, they're closer to their destruction, you know, to the end of their life, to closer to death. Likewise, for us beings in a similar fashion, in that every day of our life, you know, it's spent getting closer to death. Even each hour and minute, you know, we are constantly speeding closer and closer towards death.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then next example uses the water being carried by a current of a strong river. When you look at very fast flowing river, then the water current is very strong. The water is being carried on is very strong. There is no respite or no moment of stopping. So therefore, that is the analogy of all life exhausting. Or here Lama Tsongkhapa further says, like the water in a waterfall on a steep mountain, how it quickly disappears at the bottom. So how the water, when it's falling from the waterfall, from a very steep mountain, due to that speed of velocity of that water flow is so swift, you know. So it's also another example of how life is quickly diminishing.
Yes. Mm. 주지 요과선에 존나 롱엄에 바 랑겐에서 제바다라 나와도 가위 롱엄에 바 치다 그러는 트비스는 그것도 많이 공부하셔야 돼. 이 말이다. 주지 이제 주 레건 잡으셔야 돼. 이제 롱엄에 바 치네 돈도 주 롱겐에서 제용을 해. 대나지 가서요. 다 주지에서 노선으로 나와도 가위 롱엄에 바 치네 치다 그러는 제용을 해서
So Lama Tsongkhapa further uses an analogy of a sheep herder herding their flock. You know, when they take their sheep herding stick and pick up their sticks, then their flock is helplessly driven back to wherever they were meant to assemble at. So likewise, as human beings, mortals, then we are helplessly driven by the agents of death and sickness and aging towards defeat, to arrive at the feet of the Lord of Death. So in this way, to contemplate by these various means how we are swiftly approaching death.
Yes. tenre yendu tso duja, tsumseya, imurida, teno na, penna, ta takishu yata je rinde chi, penna, tani jomba la, pune kondo konjo, pune tenu la ta, menna sojo teji na, penna ngi basi bata, koma kondo kongo, sebi chondi nyemba na, menna sojo teji na, chono chadu mabi je, doban mabi je da, teji meye tenu la, nani doban juwa me, kawa nyi tu tonga da, tenyo dunga de mada, nyewa konan ji jo te, chode yu, yugu chi ba jim, penna tsuzi yu toji, sona nesu chinji da, teji na do kawa je, Menan chida chong de jere shi sumba taro chuo chimbu chung, chunam de chong de medaba gombe, chushe de rovan de son de gomge es, imbata, medaba chen yu du, tanda chui, chuor se. Reta chuor, chigi 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 ma te sumi zonu watan de yungi rwa. And that chuo jene medaba gombe gona, te da rong de tseni.
So here, Dalai Lama Tsongkhapa quotes, in order to support these points, the source of his writings, here it says the collection of indicated verses. So this is a text that compiles all the Buddhist sayings, you know, the Bhagavan Buddha's sayings into verse-like form. Anyway, within this text, as you can read on page 151, it has basically the same content of what we have just mentioned. Then at the end of that, it says that the great elder here refers to Lama Tisha. So Lama Tisha was said to go to the bank of a river and meditate on the rippling flow of the water, to meditate on impermanence and death. So the ripples on the water surface, are superseded by another. So each water ripple is superseded by another one. So in this case, you know, using that to, as an example of how our life is constantly, impermanent and how the lifespan is constantly being exhausted. And diminishing. So therefore, Lama Tisha considered this as a very good example to meditate on death and impermanence and did that. So here Lama Tsongkhapa is exhorting that we should use such tools as well. Lama Tsongkhapa quotes from the extensive Sport Sutra, which talks about impermanence with many examples. Firstly, he uses an autumn cloud to liken that to the three worlds as being impermanent. So, in general, when there are clouds that are ready to rain, then those clouds are very thick and sort of gather together. But those clouds that generally do not give rain, then they're kind of like thin and wave, you know, very easily. Can be dispersed very easily by the movement of wind. So these are like the using that as a metaphor for meditating impermanence. And it says that the birth and death of beings is like watching a dance. So when you're watching dance or performances of drama, then one understands that the birth and death of beings, you know, are unstable. In a sense, it's like a dance. If you have a drama performance, then the scene is constantly changing. Characters coming in and out of the scenario. You know, things are constantly, the situation or that's being portrayed is constantly fluctuating. But likewise, the birth and death of beings are impermanence or constantly changing as well. So likening that to a meditation on impermanence. And it says here the passage of life is like lightning in the sky. So lightning appears in this, does not stay in the sky for long. It appears only in brief flashes of moments where they light up the sky. So therefore, it's almost like its existence is very short-lived. So likewise, death and impermanence is constantly approaching us, and then, you know, life can be exhausted very swiftly. So and then using the analogy of a waterfall, the quick movement of it, to meditate on impermanence and death. So using these various examples. Yes.
And then now the Chunzi Sambi Trick Suba Shela. She in Ubo Tamji Medaba Medoma Me, Sumba the Yimbi, the Malajan Sam Nimre. At that no other than Medaba Sam Noto, and then the Jenny Semna, a Kuano Tos and Yet and Yina, and the Chi, the Chiru Ubo Kawate Nayo, Medaba Tomba. Pechade yoris, nimbre. Reda, reda shing noina, any shing the thought that is only charging baby cow than one mocha. You only charge you corn royal chedugona, sepuchan roya. At the same metapi pech. The metonogina and the tombo yachi, yachi and any corn, and you go in the yellow road.
So then, Lama Tsongkhapa says that when one meditates on death and impermanence in such a way, using these various analogies for reflection, then when one has arrived at a certain sense of meditative understanding, certain understanding in one's heart, then all of the external phenomena that one perceives then becomes easily becomes examples of impermanence, of reminders of impermanence. For example, the trees and the roots and the shoots and so forth, you know, when it comes to the time of growth, you know, then it turns green, you know, green and lush. But at the time of the change of seasons, then they turn yellow and so forth. So these are like the good analogies for death and impermanence. And the other thing is that flowers, as they bloom and become, when they bloom, they're very lush and beautiful, but then they also quickly wither and die away. So again, these are examples of impermanence. So here, so here, so when one is able to, one has the ability to meditate, you know, then when all these external phenomena, materials or elements become one's aid as examples, by being examples for your meditation, just as the great Milarepa once sang that he uses all of the external appearances as examples for his meditation. By combining it to his meditational practice, therefore he has no need for the actual physical presence of scriptural texts.
Yes. That then, yon and yon the sum, ane zon ru che jun rung bu gong ten le che na ane toba che tu gu ri ma to te ya se sam ta yon mi duk se je na ane pe ya yaw ma res yon yon sam na ngi ba che jun se sam re la ma jun che bin mi pen de ka ma bi shan ne sam bi ma jun se de che je nam sam ni mo ni yin yin che sem mo ni ni lo gin do na zui ma se ru sung ba ta ro yin ma re Pergi, mana ke? Ini nyamun je ya, cehi na, dah, pergi tuan di show cimbo zamne, yang ni yang tu kongku yang ini macam, dah, ini samun tu tengah cehi wate, engah cehi mendo saya nu tenri cehi na, dia sosi macam ni, ini ni nyamun yang ini tu apa, cemun ni itu tu apa, dah, nyamun yang ni ada baca, ini cemun ni yang ni, dah, Namukong da tosi niya mato xin tenri chen ni gomba yin na yin toba che yung gari yas. Yin bari ta te tsubxin dawe pe to chen ni zon ru che goya song goya rwa. Tsubxin si. Xin ni zi chui yung du gong na men che yung ya ji yon yin bari. Ta te bi jun rungbo men mamba pa de ni chui jia yin na ko men pa yung ya che. Tā mē sōgē sōgē tōsī tēnē jēnā jē tūgē mē yō rā. Tēn nō xīn nē jūn tūn nē sām hō kūyō rē sōmō.
So here, Lamasangkhapa says that one needs to meditate on such topics over and over again until one achieves realization, or he says in the text here, certain knowledge. Then this is Lamasangkhapa says it's not helpful to do just a little reflection and then say that nothing actually occurred. That he quotes from Geshe Kamapa saying, so the essence of that is that when one is actually practicing, one needs to apply great effort and not just do just mere slight practice, expect to achieve results. One needs to apply great joyous effort to accomplish these realizations. One can't just simply give some mere thought to the teachings and then say that nothing actually happened. But if one checks one's own lifestyle, one finds that during the daytime, one is constantly being hampered by one's distractions to various other things. And at nighttime, one's practice is hampered by sleep. You know, so therefore here, what you need to do is that during the daytime, one needs to put a stop, to the various distractions that hamper our practices. And then at nighttime, to sleep at appropriate parts of the night, and then the rest of the time to engage in Dharma practice. And if one meditates in such a way, one eventually achieves realizations. So then an analogy Rinpoche mentioned here is that of rubbing two pieces of wood, to give rise to fire. If you only by rubbing them constantly up to the point where the heat is so intense that it can give rise to fire, only then can we achieve the actual warmth or the fire or heat of realizations. If we were to just rub the wood occasionally and leave it sitting there, rub it a little bit and leave it sitting there, so eventually, one would never come to have any of the fire, achieve any of the fire that one desires. So by not applying constant effort in meditation, one would not have the achieve the results or the fruits of realizations. So using this analogy. Yes.
Gom jab ji shuo yin mara. Nda lo ju ji gom ma yin sa. Lo ju ji gom ma yin de da jo xie zan da ngom ma ni yo sa. Nda jo xie de re ma to to ba xin je to ma sa. Su mara. Tene ji la ni so sa jib yung shuo no ne to ba jie jong sa. Nda gom ma ji wun yung ma yin mara. Gom jia ya da so sa jib yung sun ri jie ne jo ko kyo ra.
Longdon
Lam, Mishikron, Namsa,
So here, then Longdo Lama Rinpoche, again, you know, he had mentioned before that one needs to engage in meditation for long periods, for a long time, in a long time, and then simultaneously engaging in practices of purification and accumulations in order to accumulating merit and purifying obscurations in order to generate realizations. Else, you know, it's difficult for realizations to occur. So when this Lama was alive, he was said that he did not have much clothing or material wealth. Loss.
he renounced, you know, this life. he took loss on the eating, you know, rich food or, you know, and wearing good dresses. he won very poor dress and, you know, just a simple food. he took loss on the food and clothing. Mm. And so with Astrid's life, he did practice 11 years. He did meditation practice with a renounced life.
So he did this practice for 11 years, and then he said even then he did not achieve. He still remained, his realizations remain as they were before, that he did not have new realizations. But then
having renounced, didn't achieve any other realization except the sadness, the nature of samsara, the aversion to the suffering of samsara that I had before. Yes. Before I began the meditation practice, I had that before. Yes. Then afterwards, yes. He did a lot of practice, collecting medicine and purification. Then the realizations happened.
Yes.
So I'm just saying, for meditation alone, it seems not sufficient. Need practice of collecting merit and purification.
이만다 아 이제 논다다 마다는 제류통 아 엠멘데 통제메 봐 아니 아 잡어디죠 근데 검정데 아 근데 가보 좀 봐라 근데 이제 안 간서 나 된데메 봐 아 내가 싫어하네 에 근데 샘 집어넣어 줘나 근데 삼나도 또 또 근데 된면도 요시하요 봐 된데라 아니 용 가보 봐 근데 이제 가서 다
So this was the situation from Longdo Lama Rinpoche, who from his side, you know, gave up the mind that was attached to this life, renounced the affairs of this life, and, you know, not being in living a lifestyle that is not harmonious with the general worldly people, then lived in the caves and then engaged in much difficulty to practice the Dharma. But for us, you know, we do not do much work, and then, you know, we are the path that we occasionally just think of the Dharma once in a while, you know. Then in this case, one is unable to generate realizations in such a way, so therefore one needs to practice the Dharma in an intensive fashion.
체인 다른 집다게 쫓는 이제 바로는 로만 맞이 대에 반응은
so for
us doing activities and also you know, and then we practice Dharma only when you feel happy, so like that you know, then then in that way we're able to have extra success realization, so need to put a lot of effort, continued effort.
But now 체인 단체다게 되는 이제 바로는 로마제 대 반놈세요 로샤냐서 공제죠 체전의 면으로 가 예매병 아르디 휴반에 고선데 그제면도 이제 바로도 카데는 로아니노 대나 바르제 소마오 나와도 가위 본이 친네 치비스든 로아 코나르세 손비가는 이제 스마 면으로 도바선의 가와면 자데 베나 다음 톰비스만의 농민세 サラマノメバノナロビカテンガワメウバジノテヨンジブジャビンレバトンバデメイボウトミツムネコナンジテンガナネジュバテネツンデテネネレジルシュメバチダロネロシタセンジダジングビタメジュロワトミツムレワトミツムテンデサラトンワチュバシュバチュチェンデパノナンデワニョンジョラジネツンデチワニゼタドラブジュバタドラブジュバナセンジナンデパクコンデヨンデワチュタトバンジュシエソンソテダケネニョドンチワンギバテノ まだ当たり前の時代にいばんを、ね、千円単な単値はじだ、言うんだろう。千円単な値は、今まわせ、ディーパーラ。単なぞ、ソンビカ。単なジョンバニーセアダ。単なネーメーセデアダ。天理学校内を、千円の目の上で、中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中世中 미메게 마사게 발라 콜레 가바체기 마르 내가 나오지 않아서 아 세세는 로그요리 그게 다 셰야는 녀로 녀로 로그요리 근데 인도 디 바사 나라 아 다 민치비 댕메바 인도 가와제야 마레스 디발라 숨버
So it says here that Lama Zagaba says that because one at a time, so that the Lord of Death is certain to arrive, is certain to come to us, and then the end of this life, you know, the end of fulfillment of this life is death. So at the end of this life, death is definite. Not only that, when we're alive, you know, not a single moment of time is spent being idle in the sense that the life is constantly diminishing. We're constantly speeding towards death. There's no one point of time where we are not approaching towards death. So, so when death is coming, you know, the analogy given is of a person that is falling to earth from the peak of a high mountain. So then here, how can the person, when in the process of falling, experience any sense of joy knowing that they're falling to a death, you know, they're going in the process of being destroyed? Approaching their own destruction. So in this kind, at this point of time, you know, every moment of our life or real life, we are constantly, our life is being diminished. We are always constantly in the process of being drawn closer or driven closer towards death time. So there is no time in between that is not, that this process does not occur. So therefore, you know, what cause for happiness is there, you know, during this process.
Occurrence of this process. Yes. In the London number, which is a tender summary. Conta and Namjune, a gom yamne tender ron, no chin, and Losa sayanoda, a tender sane combashigame animara. In the Nimanji and the Jimda tender, a tade, Kusi Jutiva. In Jimda tender, Satu chap, a tolayabo conchin, Jihaja imber. In Jihaja and Dugona, and the chance of telling Karim Bas Sundu. That is not the same thing. It is 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 the same thing.
Yes. So here, in general, we spend a lot of time celebrating various festivities, annual festivities such as birthdays and lots of different party bashes and so forth. So in actual fact, you know, each of these annual festivities marks another point in time where our life is being exhausted or being diminished. If we consider seriously, that each annual festival that we celebrate, then we are closer towards death. You know, that marks another step forwards, you know, towards the goal of or destination of death. So in actual fact, it should be a time of sorrow, a time of mourning, instead of a time of celebration. So here, for example, when Longdo Lama Rinpoche was alive, you know, that he was constantly in his cave meditating, and so never really celebrated any New Year party bashes. So one day, one of his sponsors came up to visit him and was dressed, you know, very elegantly, all the silks and everything, and then so came up to visit him, pay a visit, to pay his respects. So Longdo Lama Rinpoche saw he was still dressed so brightly and asked him that what's happening, you know. So he said, oh, today is Losar, which is the Tibetan New Year. And Losar simply means New Year. So then Longdo Lama Rinpoche replied to him, said, it's not Losar, it's Tese. You know, it's not the New Year, it's the exhaustion of life, you know. It's the diminishing of life. So it shouldn't be given the name diminishing of life and not New Year, you know. So that was his reply to the sponsor. So every moment of life is, even the festivities mark, you know, such an event of the diminishing of life. Yes. So therefore, it is certain that your death, not only is the death time certain, but it's also certain that our death time will come to us very quickly.
Yes. Sombe Selayon, Chuchavi, Lome Bar, Niban Chuasa Mane, Narshi Berinta Tesum, Top the Chojon, Longo Char Meronde, Tome the Semomogen and Dubatang, Lama Lion, Nijisen Daji, Yenya, Number Imagine, Jan Tomaja Tome and Dawaton, Nonso Yon the Gabe in Negabson, Lemnene, Luther Semjatom Yambi Chuchavan, Lodge Rubin, Tomebe, Chuchavan the Chuzi Limit.
So here, then move on to the third reason. At the bottom, page 152, where it says the contemplation or the certainty of death says that even while you're alive, there's little time for Dharma practice. So here, as mentioned before, if the general lifespan is 100 years, then by now more than half of the life has gone passed us by, and you know, and half of the life is spent in sleep, while the other half is spent in a constant distraction, and engaging distractions as well as sorrow, lamentation, physical sickness, and so forth. So therefore, that first half of the life was not spent, you know, in Dharma practice. Then when old age was to gradually set in, when old age sets in, then the physical strength or vitality diminishes, as well as the mental capacity to practice the Dharma, mental clarity to practice the Dharma. Again, that diminishes along with age, and then one is unable to practice Dharma. So here, Geshe Chekawa says that Lama Tsongkhapa quotes on Geshe Chekhawa, who said that if one has a lifespan of 60 years, then subtracting all the time that is lost to pursuit of our clothing and food, as well as the various lost to the various distractions, the time spent on sleep and sleeping and sickness and so forth, so we end up with only like virtually only 5 years of our life that is possible, you know, to actually practice the Dharma. Yes.
Mm-hmm. 대단한 챈딘 부도 담제 문어 튕진나 대화제바 세네 덴바타 치비트즈 덴비 요즘든 졸라 치비드라네 가드메방이 바원나 제세 챈딘르디르 가와 자냠데 삼데 추자구바나 타지지 세다 몬데 차데스 지르네 제몬지 데뇽모다 네바메데 감지 구마다에 빠네 덴바제바니 로안데다 보는 고발 제원지 보면 방관자 남나타니 시다니가 도바메 바라 누가시죠 나도 가든 치비노제 도제 가드메바 요지 이제는 근데 덴베요 삼레 마도 팬도야 제가 정요 말봐. 덴노이네 첸디 덴노게 자와 간디지 중반 있나요? 집에 내가라 다 덴베요 삼레 마도 팬도야 제가 말해. 팬야메베 칼라 단도네 디 정원체네. 제가 나 조바 제 거야다. 아니 지만에 논로야 긴지 봐. 덴데 제가 요로. 다 집단에 다기 공대 시바 나오지 지다 온바르니 공개요 도드미 텐데 옌디 아다 텐데 대진이 좀 써야 돼 다 루지 제네 베롱 고고토냐 아다 루지스 이말 다스 밀 루지스 텐데 다 담지 용게 여러와 이말 스몬 다 텐데게 베남주 좀번은 어때
So here, Lama Tsongkhapa says that when we are caught up with the affairs of this life, you know, such as pursuit of our wealth and of food, clothing, as well as fame, the happinesses of this life, and so forth, then eventually, when this life ends, it's almost like no different from having a good dream. In that everything in the dream is left behind and one awakens with only the memories. So if we are to be attached to the affairs of this life, then at the time of death, you know, then the affairs of this, you know, we put so much effort into working for the affairs of this life, but at the time of death, these things are of no benefit to us in that they have to be left behind. And at the time of not having benefit, they could possibly be of harm as well. In that one, it becomes a cause for one to generate remorse or regrets, you know, at sorrow at the time of death for not having practiced the Dharma, and also it can be a cause for fear to fall into the lower realms, you know, in future lives due to the negative karma created for accumulating those. So as mentioned before, since there is no way, you know, of averting death, you know, so one should practice the Dharma, then one should decisively practice the Dharma, then the affairs of this life are like the deception deception caused by cannibals. So there's this analogy, a story that was mentioned of this traders that were deceived by these group of female cannibals by manifesting in very pleasant aspects, you know, then deceiving them to stay on their islands. And then eventually what happened was that these people got eaten by these cannibals. So were eaten by these cannibals at the end. You know? So therefore, the affairs of this life, you know, however lucrative they appear to be, lush they appear to be, you know, essentially there are acts of deception in that eventually the final ending is death. That death will definitely, certainly arrive. And then so then the affairs of this life will be left behind, like as if waking up from a dream. So therefore, you know, then there is no pleasure. You know, why should one delight in the delusions of this life? You know, why should one be happy by engaging in the delusions of this life? So, you know, one should decide from the depths of one's heart to cultivate Dharma, to practice Dharma for the sake of future lives.